J.C. Corcoran Podcast.
Here's the guy, Bobo Newsom. Louis Norman Buck Bobo Newsom, born August 11, 1907, Hartsville, South Carolina, died on Pearl Harbor Day, 1962, in Orlando, Florida. This is why it will soon become apparent why this man should be your idol. The rundown of his career begins in 1929 with the Brooklyn Dodgers, 1932 Cubs, 1934 Cardinals, 1935 Cardinals, then Senators, 36 Senators, 37 Senators, then Red Sox, 38 St. Louis Browns, 39 Browns and Tigers, 40 Tigers, 42 back to the Senators, and then back to the Dodgers in the same season, 43 the Dodgers, but then back to the Senators. So if this pattern continues, you'll be on KMOX by a week from Tuesday.
Bob, but
Philadelphia A's, 1944. Philadelphia A's again in 46. But the Senators for a third time in 46. Opens 47 with the Senators, but they trade him to the Yankees, who immediately trade him to the New York Giants, who send him back to the Senators for the fourth time, then back to the Philadelphia A's, with whom he concludes his career in 1953. 14 teams in a 14-year big league career.
Actually, this by the way, on page 2,100 of the Baseball Encyclopedia,
Acostas
went through every page to find some guy who would relate to you.
Do you realize that you have probably inadvertently given me the nickname Bobo for the rest of my life? For the rest of my life. Hey, Bobo, over here.
Other than JC, the kindest thing I've ever heard anyone call you
is Bobo.
No, I'm just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous, don't be rocky, you're a teenage guest disc jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before? It's like deja vu all over again.
Friday, September 30th, 2022. 39 days until the midterm clusterfuck. How you doing, kids? You're at jconline.com. I feel a little better here today because I'm getting some of my voice back. I got that steroid shot about 10 days ago, and for the last 10 days, I've sounded like B. Arthur, and now I still sound like B. Arthur, but at least it's not raspy. I have some of my resonance back. It is a very, very good feeling to be able to talk again. Well, for those of you who listen to the podcast as soon as it is published, you might be aware that inbound I-70 at Cary apparently is an overturned school bus. They did a rollover, and traffic is just completely a mess on inbound 70 at Cary. All right, we should not have to spend a lot of time on the weather today. Turned beautiful here yesterday after all the devastation in the area. I probably had 10,000 tree branches and twigs to clean up yesterday. That is not an exaggeration. There were just little, tiny little pieces of tree limbs all over everything. Got blisters on my hands from raking all that stuff up yesterday. But I'd rather have that problem than the problem they were having an hour and a half south of here. Because if you've seen any of these heartbreaking videos of the conditions down there around Fort Myers, it's just unbelievable. It's, you know, you run out of adjectives when something is at that level of devastation. What do you say? It's almost like you just shut up and show the video because there are no words. I was just in Sanibel like 2 months ago. My sister and brother-in-law in the Chicago area go every year, and they weren't able to go for the last couple of years because of COVID. So they finally made it down there. It's one of their favorite destinations. They have a place that they rent out for a week, and they go there, and they just love it. It's right on the beach. And so we drove down and saw them. I think it was in June sometime. And we had a wonderful time. It's so pretty down there. And that whole area is gone now. I mean, the hotels are still standing, but the erosion on the beach and just anything that wasn't made out of concrete just got twisted out of recognition, and it's just an awful, awful situation down there. I have a friend who lives in Venice, which, you know, by all accounts was in the eye of the storm, and he's okay. He didn't get a direct hit, so they're doing all right. And remember everything we heard about how slowly that storm was going to move. People were concerned that it was going to come right up the Florida coast on the Gulf side and only go like 3 miles an hour, and that was just going to be a horrific situation in terms of the rain. Well, it did that when it came ashore, but then, man, it sure cut across the state of Florida quickly, and it's getting ready to hit South Carolina. That's how fast that thing moved. Got sharks swimming in the street. Man, did I learn a lot. That's all I'll say. Did I learn a lot? On the other end of the spectrum, as far as weather is concerned, and St. Louis, probably at least 7 days of rain-free, beautiful fall weather, temperatures in the mid-70s for highs. It is going to be a beautiful period of weather in St. Louis. There's going to be a lot of people on the hot seat here in the next couple of days and weeks with regard to the Miami Dolphins quarterback, who I'll just call Tua because I can't pronounce his last name, rushed to the hospital after suffering an apparent head injury during last night's game against Cincinnati. Some people say that it was not a clean play. It was a very clean play. Football, as DeMarco Farr used to say, football is a violent game, and everybody has to understand that. Football is a violent game. Now, the question that everybody's been trying to deal with for the last 100 years is, can you make a violent game a safe game? In other words, just because the game is violent, does it also have to be dangerous? And I think the answer is no. And for the most part, it isn't. But periodically, you run into situations like that. But what the hell was he doing out there anyhow? The NFL is violating its own concussion protocol. It sure looked like Tua had a concussion last week. It's 4 days later, and he's out there again. The NFL making it up as they go. Now, overnight, they said that he was released from the hospital after an examination and flew home with the team. But still, there's going to be a lot of people asking a lot of questions. And the main one was, what was he doing out there anyhow? Other big story that developed overnight, Trevor Noah leaving The Daily Show after 7 years. No word on when the last episode will be. Trevor said he misses doing stand-up comedy, traveling to other countries, and learning other languages, so it sounds like he already has a plan for what's next. I gave the guy a chance. I watched when he started. I would go back periodically and watch, especially when the other guys are on vacation, try to watch a Daily Show. I just never really warmed up to the guy. He never really did anything for me. Now, when Jordan Klepper did a piece or Roy Wood Jr. did a piece, I'd end up seeing on the internet. They'd post it on Facebook the next morning, so I didn't have to watch the show, and I didn't have to watch all the stuff with Trevor Noah in it, so I still like that stuff, but they should have given that job to Samantha Bee. That's who deserved a shot at hosting that show, and she would have been terrific. I think that ship has sailed now. I think they probably need somebody younger, and so we'll see who they come up with. Comedians tend to be very free spirits, all right? They are, by definition, nonconformists. So, believe it or not, sometimes it's hard to find somebody who wants to do a nightly show. Because, as Trevor Noah said, he wants to travel and do all other stuff. You can't do that when you got a daily show. No pun intended. So, you get the security of having a long-term, sort of semi-permanent job. And you get all the money, because they do pay very well. But you give up your freedom to do what you want. And, again, given the fact that most comedians, let's just say they wouldn't function in a cubicle in a 9-to-5 job very well. Bruce Springsteen recorded an album of soul covers. It's called Only the Strong Survive, comes out on November 11th. And I'm not sure I understand this comment, but he says making this album made him realize he really does have a decent voice. I'm doing this story only, I don't do country stories because I don't like country music. I don't like country music artists. There's a couple here and there that I'll tolerate occasionally, but not much. I like Dolly Parton, although I don't really like much of her music, like Emmylou Harris, stuff like that. But all this new country, all this Luke Bryan shit you can have because it is shit. But I'm doing this story about Billy Ray Cyrus, of all people. He has a new girlfriend who is an Australian singer, and her name is spelled F-I-R-E-R-O-S-E, which apparently is pronounced Fire Rose. Fire Rose. But if you met her on the street and said, oh, and by the way, what's your name? you'd swear she was saying fire hose. Oh, here's the Trevor Noah thing.
In my apartment, not on the road, you know, stand-up was done. And when I got back out there again, I realized there's another part of my life that I want to carry on exploring.
Translated, I gone. Anyhow, I hope that Billy Ray Cyrus and fire hose have a wonderful life together. If you got Apple TV Plus, something called The Greatest Beer Run Ever, starring Zac Efron as a guy who decides to go to Vietnam, track down his buddies, and personally hand them a beer at the height of the anti-war protests. Based on a true story, Bill Murray and Russell Crowe are in this. It just sounds absurd, which is why I'm attracted to it. Also today on Disney Plus, Hocus Pocus 2. This is one of those things I do not get. I'm sorry. I do not get the whole thing with Hocus Pocus. Everybody's back. Bette Midler, Sarah Jessica Parker, and Kathy Najimy. The nice part about Hocus Pocus 2 being made here, what, like 30 years later after the original one, is now Bette Midler, Sarah Jessica Parker, and Kathy Najimy don't have to wear makeup. Oh, I'm going to pay for that one, and I deserve it, too. That was absolutely inexcusable. Miles Teller hosting the 48th season premiere of Saturday Night Live. Kendrick Lamar is the musical guest. Also got a big football game. You know, last weekend, we had the showdown between Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers, and this weekend, it's Tom Brady versus Patrick Mahomes. And the game will be played in Tampa, by the way. The weather's supposed to be beautiful. Beautiful, just beautiful. Jimmy Fallon tonight is Debbie Harry and Leah Michelle. Jason Bateman on with Jimmy Kimmel. Bob Saget's final film, something called Daniel's Gotta Die. It's going to premiere late October at the Austin Film Festival. The Genesis guys sold music from the band and their solo careers for $300 million. Peter Gabriel's stuff is not part of the deal. Now, they said the solo careers, you're trying to tell me? Couldn't Phil Collins have gotten $300 million alone just for his stuff? It seems like a fire sale there. And there are people who believe that long COVID is bullshit. It's usually the people who didn't believe in COVID in the first place. Though, whatever you do, don't say that to Dave Navarro. He had to sit out the Jane's Addiction Tour with Smashing Pumpkins because he's still dealing with the long COVID. Flintstones, Whitey Herzog's favorite TV show, premiered on ABC on this date 62 years ago in 1960. Supremes' Love Child came out in 68 on this date. Isaac Hayes, the theme from Shaft, 1971 on this date. 50 years ago, 1972, Roberto Clemente hit number 3,000. He was killed in a plane crash 3 months later on New Year's Eve. And James Dean killed in a two-car collision near in California on this date, 1955. Birthdays, Kieran Culkin, 40. Today, Jenna Elfman from Dharma and Greg, Scientology alert, 51. Monica Bellucci, who a lot of people think for her day was the most beautiful woman on earth, and I would second that. She is great looking now. You saw her 20 years ago. Man, oh man, the fish in the aquarium stop swimming when she walks in the room. Eric Stoltz, 61. Fran Drescher, 65. Barry Williams, Greg from the Brady Bunch, 68. Marilyn McCoo, who I was in love with for years and years and years, 79 today, Fifth Dimension. Johnny Mathis, 87. Angie Dickinson, talk about in her time, 91. Birthdays tomorrow, Brie Larson, 33. Zach Galifianakis, who's just fucking nuts, 53. Cindy Margolis, used to be on The Price is Right, at one time was the most downloaded woman on the internet, 57. Mark McGuire, 59 tomorrow. Randy Quaid, Dennis's crazy brother, 72. Rod Carew, Hall of Famer, 77. Julie Andrews, 87. President Jimmy Carter, 98. Sunday birthdays, Tiffany, 51. Todd Newton was dating her a couple years ago. Kelly Ripa, 52. Lorraine Bracco, who I just love. I interviewed her for a movie called The Basketball Diaries with Leonardo DiCaprio, and she is a hoot. Dr. Melfi, 68. Sting, 71. And Don McLean, who is as big as an 18-wheeler right now. He's got like a 22-year-old girlfriend. How does he do it? 77. I had one of those how does he do it things yesterday. We have a neighbor Yeah, this is somebody I've only known for like 2 years. She's very nice, and she and my wife always hang out. And everything was closed. You know, we didn't have power for a while. All the restaurants were closed. The bars were closed. There's just, there wasn't anything open here yesterday except one little, well, when I was a kid, we used to call them tavern, you know, a very, very big bar, very small place, really, really cramped, but really good food and a fun place. And I have to be careful how I say all this, but we were going through my phone for some reason. I don't know. We were looking at something, and I started showing this woman. Now, keep in mind, this woman has only known me and my wife for about 2 years. So she looks at us now and goes, what a handsome couple. Couple of what? I don't know. But now we go back like 15 years. And let me tell you, everybody looked better 15 years ago, including me, including my wife. So now we're thumbing through these pictures on my iPhone from pictures that were 15 years ago. And she just looks at me and says, how did you do this? How did you get her? Which I believe is my neighbor's way of communicating to me that she thinks I'm ugly. Like I said, I got to be careful how I say this. As good as my wife looks now, you should have seen her 15 years ago. And so the neighbor just puts the phone on the bar and looks at me. She's like examining my face, going, how did you ever do this? How did you do this? Finally, I'm like, hey, that's my face we're talking about. I know I'm not Brad Pitt, but I'm not the fucking elephant man. This new reporter on Fox 2, this Laura Simon, something wrong with her face. She talks out of the right side of her mouth, and she looks like Skeletor's wife. I don't know how I feel about this. You know, the guy's dead. Jesus, leave him alone. Talking about Anthony Bourdain. And apparently somebody got a hold of his diary and they got people reading the thing publicly. It's the guy's diary. He's dead, for God's sakes. But since they published it, you know, I mean, I talk about it a little bit, but he was really in a lot of anguish. The woman in his life was this Asia Argento, who is a knockout. But he was a troubled guy. He was having trouble with her. He did not like fame and celebrity. Went so far as to say, I hate my fans. I hate being famous. And then in the text, he says to this actress, Asia Argento, you know, what do you want me to do? And she says, stop busting my balls. And he was dead the next day. As you've heard me say in the past, the two most beautiful women in the world today, in the blonde category, it's golfer Paige Spiranak, and in the brunette category, it is Emily Ratajkowski. They are devastatingly attractive, and I mean disabling, and they're both pistols, by the way. You know, you see them on talk shows and stuff. Well, I haven't seen Paige Spiranak pop up anywhere, and I don't understand that. You'd think that somebody would put her on the show, somebody like Jimmy Kimmel or something. Now, Emily Ratajkowski pops up from time to time, and I pop up along with her. But I'm throwing in the AT&T girl. I still think she is cute as can be. God, she's doing those commercials now with LeBron James, and she's just so cute and funny. A lot of people don't know that she was a comedian. Before they found her, the AT&T people found her and put her in the commercials. And so she's got like a whole thing in terms of comedic background. So she could really do that stuff well. Chris Cuomo's new show on News Nation premieres on Monday. I have to dial around and figure out who's running News Nation. If you get cable, you'll find it. I mentioned this last night. I was watching the football game. And fairly early on in the game, a commercial ran. And I'm all in favor of the advertising community cranking out new ideas, you know, because commercials are so stupid and it's all this lowest common denominator stuff and people do things in commercials that they would never do in real life. And it's just all the stuff, just it's just noise, it's background. So when somebody makes a commercial and it's not the Super Bowl, you know, somebody makes a commercial, you get sort of excited about it if they do something interesting. We were just talking about the AT&T girl, okay? You know, when they started making those commercials, they probably didn't know that she would become, you know, sort of a phenomenon. So everybody plays it too goddamn safe these days, and everybody's afraid of offending somebody. That having been said, I don't know what the hell that commercial for Upwork was last night. It was a corpse. What would you look like 100 years after you died and somebody just popped open the coffin and you came walking out? I mean, this guy is delivering the message for this service called Upwork. I don't really know what it is. It's some sort of online thing, I think. And while he's talking, I mean, they got close-up shots of the way his skin on his face has just rotted away. And every once in a while when he talks, some sort of ooze pops out of his neck like a fire hose. Clothes are all tattered and everything. What was that all about? It sure got my attention. I even remembered the name of the product. So there. This Jim Edmonds thing just gets weirder and weirder. I don't really know Jim Edmonds. A couple of sports guys in town that know him very well. I don't really know him, so I can't talk. I've talked to him many times, but I don't know Jim Edmonds, and he doesn't know me. That having been said, four marriages? Who do you think you are, Karen Foss? You got married again this week to the girl who was the third wheel in the threesome when he was still married to his wife. How long do you give it? How long do you give it? You're the babysitter. Okay, you're the babysitter. And Jim Edmonds and his wife take her aside and go, hey, look, you're really, really cute, and we'd sort of like to do a threesome with you. Are you interested? And she says yes. Well, first of all, Jim Edmonds' wife says yes. Big, tall, Catholic school girl, all right, very pretty, very tall, and married to Jim Edmonds, and she goes for the idea first, and then the babysitter says, yeah, sure, why not? And it goes a little too well. The wife is out, babysitter's in, marriage number four, and off we go. Speaking of the Cardinals, the question is, what are we going to do with Adam Wainwright? You know, everybody's pulling for the guy. It's a great story to have somebody that age still playing well. The only problem is he hasn't been playing well lately. If you've been watching the numbers, in his last seven starts, Wainwright 2-3 with a 5.15 ERA and just 36 innings of work. He's getting rocked. So now you got the playoffs coming up and all this goodwill and all the, you know, the fans all whipped up about seeing him for the last time and everything. And what do you do now? You don't want to disrespect the guy, especially publicly, and especially as you're going into the playoffs. You know, I wouldn't be surprised. I'm not saying this is going to happen, but I wouldn't be surprised if somebody suggests that maybe Wainwright go to the bullpen. You imagine our opposition, whoever it ends up being, it could be Atlanta. You see an inning or two of Ryan Helsley throwing like, you know, 104, and then you bring in Adam Wainwright with that big 12-6 curveball. Guys would screw themselves into the ground in the eighth or ninth inning. I'm leaning towards the idea of putting him in the bullpen. I don't think he's earned a starting position. And while all that's going along, I've seen this coming for a while, and I think he's been sort of slowly prepping us for this. I think once his baseball playing days are over in a couple of weeks, he's going to go hard right Christian. Now, I think he already is hard right Christian, but he's been sort of suppressing it a little bit. Yesterday, he's at Chick-fil-A in De Pere, I don't know, greeting people and everything like that. Out of all of the restaurants, out of all of the places that you could sort of quote-unquote represent, it's Chick-fil-A with that asshole who owns the company and doesn't have any of his stores open on Sunday and has published all sorts of bigoted anti-gay stuff, and he's just one of those insufferable pricks. And I don't understand the stuff about you own a fast food company and it turns out that you're just like a raging asshole. It's like this Jimmy John's guy. So maybe Adam Wainwright doesn't think that we're noticing this. I'm noticing it. I'm terrified that somehow Ricky Horton and Adam Wainwright are going to end up in a broadcast booth somewhere. I'm going to tune in the ball game, and it's going to be like I'm listening to Joyce Meyer. Now, at least both of them have a better haircut. If you go to work during the day, you don't have access to a TV. You don't see this show that is on Fox 2 during the day, hosted by Chelsea Haynes. I don't even know what the show is called, but this chick is just a little too hopped up on something, and she never stops talking. Okay, I talk because it's only me. If I stop talking, you don't hear anything. Okay, she has guests. You bring guests in, let them talk. Also, but anyhow, the reason I bring her up, she has been named as the new in-game host for the St. Louis Blues. So, in other words, you go to the Blues game, and there's a stoppage of play between periods, stuff like that. They always have somebody, like, you know, doing goofy questions and stuff, and so she's going to do it. Nice thing about her is that she's so loud, she won't need a microphone. Man, this has been an exhausting week. That's all I can tell you. It felt too much like moving, and we've moved a lot. We moved something like 7 times in the last 12 years or something, and it's an exhaustive process. If you ever had a move, you know what I'm talking about. And having to take everything you own that's outside of the house that isn't bolted down and somehow put it away somewhere, stack it up, stick it in the garage, try to hide it in a gangway, just something to protect it from the wind. You got to move all your plants on. It felt way too much like moving, and I am tired. I'm really tired. All right. Couple of more notes here before we go. It was on this date in 1992 that the Riverfront Times poll named somebody by the name of J.C. Corcoran as the fifth as the fifth best local radical. Luna Baby arrived on the premises exactly 4 years ago today. Tomorrow is the anniversary of the Vegas massacre. That park where that, I think it was a country music show, or it was a hip-hop show, I can't remember. But that park right there was where I saw Paul McCartney back in 93, I believe it was. And this Sunday is the fifth anniversary of the passing of Tom Petty. I believe that we had a world exclusive on the announcement of Tom Petty's death well before anybody else had it, because our friend Teresa, who is a photographer from St. Louis, moved down to L.A. over 30 years ago and really befriended all of these bands and was always down in front taking great photographic shots of the big, big rock stars. And she was really good at what she did. And the band people, you know, became friends of hers, and everybody knows everybody else. And if you'll recall, all we were told was that Tom Petty was unresponsive and taken to Cedars-Sinai, the hospital in Los Angeles, and, you know, nobody seemed to know anything. And Teresa just happened to be standing outside of his hospital room and sent me a note and just basically said, no, he's gone. It's over. I was like, you know that for sure. She said, yep, I'm standing right outside the room. It's over. And it was very, very sad. And then that's when you have the delicate, I guess you would say, choice to make, because on one hand, you're just grief-stricken. It's so shocking. Tom was only 66. You know, we didn't learn until later, you know, what had happened and how he accidentally overdosed because of that bad hip. But I went on the air on the radio station I was at the time 5 years ago. I went on the air immediately and announced it. And it wasn't until hours later, that finally was confirmed and finally went public. So, like I said, I believe that you got a world exclusive on the passing of Tom Petty. And he still seems so alive. You know, I've got that Sirius XM channel. You're driving along and there's Tom talking and joking and all that sort of stuff. And you're like, he can't be gone. Still hard to accept. Still hard to accept. We flipped the page on the calendar over the weekend into October. A couple of things to look forward to. Of course, the Major League Baseball playoffs kick off here in just a couple of days. World Series scheduled to begin October 28th. NHL season starts October 7th. NBA season starts October 18th. In movies, the mystery comedy Amsterdam, which I'm going to see next Wednesday, comes out. Hellraiser drops on Hulu. That's later on. I believe that's next Friday. You got the 13th installment in the Halloween franchise. Ticket to Paradise, George Clooney, Julia Roberts. That comes out October 21st. On TV, the new season of Saturday Night Live kicks off tomorrow night. Third installment of season 11, The Walking Dead, airs on Sunday. Grey's Anatomy, new horror anthology, Guillermo del Toro's Cabinet of Curiosities. It's Netflix on October 25th. Halloween on the 31st, National Taco Day, and National Vodka Day on Tuesday. Oh, and then one of those holidays I'm not the least bit interested in, of course, National No Bra Day on the 13th. I speak a little German, and I learned the word for brassiere in German, which, of course, is holds them from flopping. With that, oh, I'm terrible. Friday, September 30th, 2022, 39 days until the midterms. Have yourself a great weekend. Please spread the word that we're back up with the podcast here every Monday through Friday, just after 7 o'clock. Everything's free. Email me, JC at JCOnTheLine.com. Facebook, The Showgram with JC Corcoran. Have a great weekend. In the meantime, we've beaten this one to death. Have a good one. See you later. Bye.